often ceases, and the soul finds itself at rest in the midst of plenty, where its great need, yea, its every need, is satisfied, without strife and without fear. Blessed are they who earnestly and intelligently seek, for it is impossible that such should seek in vain. Chapter 2. The Competitive Laws and the Law of Love. Verse. When I am pure, I shall have solved the mystery of life. I shall be sure when I am freed from hatred, lust, and strife. I am in truth, and truth abides in me. I shall be safe and sane and wholly free when I am pure. End of verse. It has been said that the laws of nature are cruel. It has likewise been said that they are kind. The one statement is the result of dwelling exclusively upon the fiercely competitive aspect of nature. The other results from viewing only the protective and kindly aspect. In reality, natural laws are neither cruel or kind. They are absolutely just, are in fact the outworking of the indestructible principle of justice itself. The cruelty and consequent suffering, which is so prevalent in nature, is not inherent in the heart and substance of life. It is a passing phase of evolution, a painful experience, which will ultimately ripen into a fruit of a more perfect knowledge, a dark night of ignorance and unrest, leading into a glorious morning of joy and peace. When a helpless child is burnt to death, we do not ascribe cruelty to the working of the natural law by virtue of which the child was consumed. We infer ignorance in the child, or carelessness on the part of its guardians. Even so, men and creatures are daily being consumed in the invisible flames of passion, succumbing to the ceaseless interplay of those fiery psychic forces, which in their ignorance they do not understand, but which they shall at last learn how to control and use to their own protection, and not, as of present, foolishly employ them to their own destruction. To understand, control, and harmoniously adjust the invisible forces of our own soul is the ultimate destiny of every being and creature. Some men and women in the past have accomplished this supreme and exalted purpose. Some in the present have likewise succeeded. And until this is done, that place of rest wherein one receives all that is necessary for one's well-being and happiness, without striving and with freedom from pain, cannot be entered. In an age like the present, when in all civilized countries the string of life is strained to its highest pitch, when men and women, striving each with each in every department of life for the vanities and material possessions of this perishable existence, have developed competition to the utmost limit of endurance, in such an age the sublimest heights of knowledge are scaled, the supremest spiritual conquests are achieved. For when the soul is most tired, its need is greatest, and where the need is great, great will be the effort. Where also the temptations are powerful, the greater and more enduring will be the victory. Men love the competitive strife with their fellows, while it promises and seems to bring them gain and happiness, but when the inevitable reaction comes, and the cold steel of selfish strife with their own hands have forged enters their own hearts, then and not till then do they seek a better way. Blessed are they that mourn, that have come to the end of strife, and have found the pain and sorrow to which it leads. For unto them, and unto them only, can open the door which leads to the kingdom of peace. In searching for this kingdom, it is necessary to fully understand the nature of that which prevents its realization, namely the strife of nature, the competitive laws operative in human affairs, and the universal unrest, insecurity, and fear which accompany those factors. For without such an understanding, there can be no sound comprehension as to what constitutes the true and false in life, and therefore no real spiritual advancement. Before the true can be apprehended and enjoyed, the false must be unveiled. Before the real can be perceived as the real, the illusions which distort it must be dispersed. And before the limitless expanse of truth can open before us, the limited experience which is confined to the world of visible and superficial effects must be transcended. Let therefore those of my readers who are thoughtful and earnest, and who are diligently seeking